Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'd like to plug the Chase Thomas podcast. Listen to Chase Thomas. You'll be a smarter sports fan and obviously a much better human being.
Matt Chernoff from 680 The Fan's Chuck and Chernoff Show here. And I want to say thanks for listening to today's episode of the Chase Thomas podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps. Chase Thomas went to Parkview in North Georgia. He's a local Atlanta kid, and he won't let the Luka versus Trey thing go. He interned with us back in the day, and you'll always remember him. Anyway, definitely go check out ChaseThomasPodcast.com, where you can find all of Chase's previous episodes, all of his articles, and do him a solid. Leave him a rating and review if you're an Apple Podcast listener. Reminder to listen to our show, Chuck and Chernoff, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 on 680 The Fan, and subscribe to my podcast as well. Welcome to Matlanta, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. Everything School HQ, number 2 Tennessee Volunteers baseball team, number 2 Tennessee Volunteers basketball team, everything coming up. Tennessee Volunteers. Unfortunately, I went back to Atlanta over the weekend, saw the Hawks in person with my wife for the first time for her. They lost late to the Clippers, so that didn't go well. But, you know, still by and large a good sports weekend and getting to get back to Atlanta briefly. But here at this time, as he is each and every week, Mr. Evan Swords. Evan, all black. Are you okay? How are you, buddy?
There is no God.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this. I think I am, and I mean this sincerely, I think I am probably the most well-adjusted, the most okay 49ers fan that I know.
Mm.
Every 49ers fan I had one of my buddies was like screaming, trying to break things on the phone. I have another buddy who's like, my wife doesn't understand. I'm so sad. Why doesn't she understand? Everyone was just like losing their mind. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good. Also here, who can kind of, like me being a Falcons fan, I don't have to worry about any of these kind of issues. No playoff issues of any kind of Super Bowl failures, nothing of the sort here. But in Minnesota of the Daily Norseman, my longtime good friend, Mr. Eric Thompson. Eric, Vikings fans also not allowed to have nice things. You've had that as your pinned tweet for many years now,
since,
so you can share
since
it.
Since 2015, I believe. Yep. One day I will hopefully unpin it, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. And yeah, it was a quick death for the Vikings in the playoffs. It was a kind of anticipated. I thought they were going to at least beat the Giants and then get probably slaughtered by Evan's 49ers, but that didn't happen. And then, of course, the poor 49ers had the game where, you know, like it's the Madden game where the computer just decides you aren't going to win. That was basically what happened to San Francisco on Sunday. That was.
Did you go to the playoff game against the Giants?
I did not. I went to the fun one against. I went to the one that they won against the Giants on Christmas Eve. I brought the whole family to that one. That was a blast. But nope, I had an opportunity to, and I figured I think I made it to like 5 Vikings games this year.
That's pretty good.
That was really good. And both my daughters got to go to 2. My wife went to 2. So like brought the whole family a bunch of times this year. And yeah, they were undefeated when I went. So I guess you can blame it on me.
On the Vikings as an organization to not invite you to all the games.
Exactly. Mm. I'm posting stuff. I have like more than 5 or 6 Twitter followers. They could hook me up. Yeah.
I mean, Evan's over here. He's like the White Claw sponsor, the Niners sponsor. They bring him in to lead chants and just be the leader of the fan base. We need to get Eric in the same in the same zone.
They got to get me blowing the Gjallarhorn before the game. I mean, that's
would you do that?
I would become a Vikings fan just to be able to do that.
Oh, would you do it, Eric? Would you be too nervous, or would you do it?
Oh, 100%. Like, you don't actually. Full disclosure: there's not an instrument you actually have to play. They just play a really loud noise while you'll pretend to do the thing. So yes,
okay.
It's always a guest going up there, and it's someone much, much, much more famous than
right.
I am usually. So
they had Joe Staley for the Niners doing the gong this week.
I don't know who that is, bro. I don't know who Joe Staley is, bro. I don't.
I gotta say, I'm a huge Duck fan. And I'm like, Kayvon, shut the fuck up. Sorry.
That's
for
his
language,
only thing, but... by the way. It's every week. That's his thing. He's like, I don't know who you are, bro. Like, that's just every week. Kayvon Thibodeau is it's a
like,
new.
I don't know
who you are.
Google, bro. Like, why are you? Why do we care? Mm-hmm.
It's a weird, weird time. In that Twitter sphere, not a great look for a lot of Twitter big talkers. Eli Apple going down this weekend after the week that he had on Twitter.com. It was not a good look for people who talked a lot of smack ahead of big games. But the Niners, some unbelievable bad luck here. Like, we'll get into Eric's Vikings after this, but like, I look at this game and. I was traveling back to Knoxville while this game was going on, so I listened to the whole game on the radio. So I'm just listening to it and reacting to my wife. I'm like scaring my wife because I'm like, oh no! Like, it's just so much fun because I listen to baseball on the radio a lot, and it's just so soothing. There's not many things more soothing than listening to a baseball game on the radio. And I feel for Evan. Like, Evan, you popped up in my head like 4 or 5 times, right? And I'm just like, oh no, that's not Josh Johnson. And I'm hearing it, and then they're like, oh, they're running up to the line because they don't. He clearly didn't come down because I'm listening to Warner and Kevin Harlan make the call, and just the Devontae Smith non-catch where they like realize it, and they're like, oh, they're gonna get it up, and they're not gonna have time to review it, and this is all gonna happen. And I'm like, oh no, this is not looking good. But by and large, I think with one of these games, I feel like if you're a Bengals fan today, you're a lot more hurt than the Niners because they were right there. They were healthy. They had every opportunity to win. If you're a Niners fan, you're just like, what are the odds of us being down to QB5 in the NFC title game? Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, what was Kyle supposed to do? How are we going to win this game, even with the Devontae Smith non-catch reverse or whatever? Like, Brock Purdy, we now know, it was a UCL tear that he is now out 6 months, so he could not literally throw the football 10 yards downfield. Josh Johnson, obviously well in over his head for that moment, did not have the snaps, was not ready for any of that. And you're like, well, what? You're going to run the fullback and do the Wildcat as the emergency quarterback? It just sucks because you're like, there's nothing they could do. It wasn't even like a back and forth, just unbelievable ending. It was just
I don't
sad.
Even know why you're talking like that. Like, I don't understand anyone when it comes to this 49ers game. Like, everyone wanted to discuss so many things, and my friends included. Mm. When Brock Purdy went out, the game was over.
Yeah.
And I knew that the second it happened. And as a 49ers fan, I had peace. I don't know anybody else, and obviously on the podcast you won't be able to hear this, but I have tight shoulders from like bro lifting my whole life. So I know like essentially like the motion that he was throwing, when your arm is trying to go the other way, it doesn't have a lot of range of motion, even if you are an athlete. Mm. And when you're throwing that as fast as you can and you're throwing your arm into a Hassan Reddick, I'm sure every single tendon just ripped in half. And so, not to get into that, let's backtrack. I've been saying it facetiously for a long time, but I'm tired of it. I want the respect it deserves. The 49ers are cursed, and we need to start talking about it. We need to start admitting it. I know it's a funny thing to say. You think about curses. You think about witches and black magic and maybe hocus pocus. I don't know what you think about. Maybe you think about hexes. Maybe you think about, I don't know. The 49ers are cursed. Kyle Shanahan comes and gets hired after they had Jim Harbaugh, a Super Bowl winning team, Colin Kaepernick. That team has its own issues. But then Kyle comes in, clean slate, doesn't draft Patrick Mahomes because he's going to get old Kirk Cousins. And then they realize, well, that's not a good idea. So we got to figure something out. So they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Tears his ACL immediately. After a little bit of hope, five games, wins five in a row games. We think that the Niners are on top of the world. Nope, tears his ACL. Never comes back. Never gets fully healthy from that. Always plays different than when we first saw him those first five games. So then Kyle goes, well, we tried to trade for a quarterback, and we did, and it worked for a little bit, but then he tore his ACL. We got to figure something out. This is a great quarterback class. What should we do? Well, you know what? I'm Kyle Shanahan. We've got a great roster. We need a quarterback, and I'm not going to sit here and rest on my laurels. I'm not going to wait on Jimmy Garoppolo. We're going to go out and get a quarterback by trading three first-round picks. We could have picked either Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, right? We chose Trey Lance. Thought it was the right decision. I know old Eric over here, big North Dakota fan, knows it was a great decision. We all thought it was a great decision. Well, guess what? He wasn't quite ready. He was fresh. That's fine. Jimmy's going to play anyways. Jimmy plays a little bit better. Hope again. They might just so happen to be able to be successful with Jimmy. No. Pain, sadness. What happens? Throws an interception against the Rams, who then go on to win the Super Bowl. So now they have played the Chiefs, missed one throw, lost the Chiefs, played the Rams, thrown a pick, other things, lose to the Rams. So now...
This is iconic.
It's Trey Lance time, baby. Mm-hmm. We waited for this. We did all year of Jimmy Garoppolo knowing that this legend was in the background waiting to come in. And you know what? He's had a year under the belt. We've got a new quarterback coach in Brian Griese. We've got weapons, Debo, Brandon Ayuk. We've got running backs all over the place. We have everything that Trey Lance could be possibly hoping to need. What's the first game? Monsoon. Chicago monsoon. Google it. See how many times Chicago has played in torrential downpour in a football game. It's always snow, alcoholism, and sadness. That's it. But instead, monsoon in Chicago. And guess what? Trey Lance can't throw the ball because it's raining so hard. You know when it stops raining in Chicago? That's right, when the Chicago Bears get the ball. When they are done scoring, boom, starts raining again. That's not a joke. I'm not joking. Literally Google it. It happened like that. So then they lose to the worst team in the NFL because of rain, God, and misfortune. And then what happens next? Me, this dumbass, flies out to San Jose and Santa Clara because he's going to go watch Trey Lance play the Seahawks. I brought my girlfriend, her first ever football game. Life is so exciting. Breaks his ankle immediately. Immediately breaks his ankle. It's okay though, guys. Jimmy's the backup. What other team in the NFL has a starting caliber quarterback as a backup? Jimmy's here and he's going to save the day. In fact, now they're winning football games. They could go to the playoffs. Jimmy's starting to play better. He's doing things that he hasn't ever done since those first five games. Things are going to be okay, everyone. No! No, they're not! Jimmy gets injured too. So now Jimmy's gone. The world is going to shit. We're all crying as Niners fans. And guess what? Brock Purdy, the literal Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft, comes out and starts playing well. More than well. Better than Jimmy's played since his ACLs.
Never loses.
8-0. 7-0. Brock Purdy has now guaranteed 49ers fans that they are going to the Super Bowl. He 12-win streak for the NFL 49ers. Going to the NFC Championship to play the Eagles. Do you know what happened, Chase? I know you're going to say break his ankle because it seems to be a very common thing. Mm-hmm. No, he got a baseball injury. The football player got a baseball injury, and he's going to have Tommy John surgery now because his UCL got ripped in half like it was Hulk Hogan pulling his arm. So there is no God. And if there was, he's a Seahawks fan, and he's angry. But hey, as every 49ers fan knows, there's always next year.
Remember, Evan said at the top of the show that he is in better shape than all the 49ers fans that he knows. And he just went on a 10-minute monologue about the curse of the 49ers. I mean, that was the Woody from Toy Story meme, the whole up, let him cook. I wanted to butt in like three times. I'm like, I got to let him go. That was therapy for you.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel better.
Okay, I have some comments, though. First of all, do not come on to a podcast hosted by a Falcons fan and featuring a Vikings fan and talk about curses about an NFL team. You've had a string of bad luck. You've made several NFC championship games lately. You've made a couple Super Bowls. I am 41 years old. I still have never seen my team play in a Super Bowl. Chase, unfortunately, has seen his team play in two. They didn't work out great. I just want to get to the point of that my dad keeps talking about all these miserable Super Bowl losses he saw in the 70s. I've never even seen one for myself. I want to get to that point. Mm-hmm. But yes, it was a roller coaster. It was very Vikings-esque, actually, what the 49ers did this year. It was the get your hopes up. And just when you're like, nope, I can't. There's no way that I'm going to buy into this team again. All of a sudden you're buying in and they're getting your hopes up. And just when you think their hopes are crushed again, nope, there's one more level they get you up to and then absolutely slaughter you in the NFC Championship game. So I know like the injury stuff, that's final destination kind of stuff that the 49ers went through. Like you guys must think that those series of movies is a documentary but at this point because like that is...
One more time. Let me just say it fast because that was long. So Brian Hoyer, bad. Trade for Jimmy G, tears his ACL. Trade 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance, boom, broken ankle. Brock Purdy can ball, going to the NFC Championship, rips his shoulder and elbow in half.
Also, Josh Johnson left this game with a concussion.
Yeah,
and he had to go back in because he couldn't throw because the fifth string guy got a concussion and he was out. Yes, you forgot that part.
By the way, my girlfriend literally just texted me. Game. She can't hear you guys, but my girlfriend just texted me. You didn't mention Josh Johnson. Who got a concussion?
You brought your girlfriend into this mess, Evan. You brought her into this just real my tough poor situation.
Girlfriend. My poor girlfriend was
all of us, by the way. Our
she
poor
was a
women.
Blazers fan. She was a Blazers fan. She already had sadness and depression. She already had let down, and now she's got her twice. I remember when I was a kid, I used to tell people, they're like, are you a Blazers fan? I'm like, I was like, I grew up here. I'm born and raised, but I can only handle one bad team. Mm. So I'm more of a Niners fan. I will say this, Eric. I agree, you know, the Falcons and the Vikings have it bad. And I obviously don't. I mean, I do know what it's like on that side to some extent because those years before Alex Smith were terrible. But there's something to say of the peace that both of you have every year from like November to February where you just don't have to get your hopes up. There's none of that.
We get it like every 5 or 6 years. We knew that this Vikings team, and the Vikings were 13-4 this year. We were hoping for one playoff win. We knew that in our hearts that it wasn't going very far this year. But we've had our, you know, the 2009, the 2017. Just 5 years ago, almost to the day that you had to suffer in Philadelphia, the Vikings lost by 7 more points. We didn't have any crazy. It was just Cinderella turning into a pumpkin.
I was going to say, but it was the same kind of deal where Case Keenum, not the guy to start the year and not the guy you thought was going to be leading you to a Super Bowl, kind of like Brock Purdy. It was a hot hand where you were just riding this Case Keenum
Dalvin
thing.
Dalvin Cook was out for the year. I remember I was at that. It was a week 4 game against Detroit and the Vikings lost that one 14-7 and Dalvin Cook tore his ACL in non-contact injury. And I was at that game with my wife. I'm like, season's over. 2-2. We fell to 2-2. They lost one game up until the NFC Championship game after that. So, yes, I have flashes of it. Yeah. But
for me, it's been weird because it's different for the Falcons, because like y'all have kind of walked in that abyss sometimes, like in the last 20 years, where like the Falcons, like one of the things you take for granted is that like you went from Michael Vick to 1 year of Joey Harrington and Byron Leftwich and that mess. Like I got 1 year of that, and then it was like, oh, Matt Ryan time. And then you just get Matt Ryan for over a decade, and it's just every year you go in, you're like, well, if this goes right, Michael Turner looks like he might be the guy to really, Roddy White, oh, Julio Jones entered the fold, John Abraham on the edge. And this is like every year there's this new storyline where you're like, we have Matt, we have these guys, and we're contending year over year. And then that these last 2 years without Matt, or this last year without Matt, and then what he was 2 years ago, where it was just like, oh, this is over. He's not starting this league anymore. And this year, just going through it, going with no expectations. It was weird. Like, I'm wearing the Falcons like hoodie right now, but like this was one of the weirder Falcon seasons for me, because y'all were on the emotional roller coasters where y'all's team could have hosted being number one season in the NFC, and the expectations like both could make the Super Bowl. And for me all year, it was just like, all right, let's see what we're just waiting for Desmond Ridder. And it's like, what are we doing? Like I'm not emotionally invested in any Marcus Mariota game. And I'm watching the Falcon against the Chargers, where they should have won the game. And to return this fumble back, and Taquan Graham just fumbles it 40 yards up the field. And then the Chargers get the ball back immediately and drive down and win the game. And it's like, oh, right, this can still happen even if we're not contending with Matt Ryan and company. Like, we could still falconing even with a season where nothing matters because they were in cap hell. But I don't know. I look at what happened to the Vikes, and I look what happened to the Niners, and it just sucks, man. Like the Niners, it's just one of those things too. I'm sure the NFL hates this, because there was so much excitement going into that heavyweight matchup between the Niners and the Eagles, where those were two, I think even Chiefs and Bengals fans would say the Niners and the Eagles had the two best rosters in football this year. And to see how good CMC was, to see how well Brock Purdy was playing, and to see if a rookie quarterback could really get to the Super Bowl for the first time ever, it was like, wow, this is interesting. And like Jalen Hurts being an MVP favorite, and then just looking at, I mean, all the different matchups, like AJ Brown still hasn't scored a touchdown since like January 1st, and you're like, how is this going to go? Like, there's just so many interesting nuances to this game. And then it's like Evan said, nope, boom, Brock hurt early, done deal, it's over. And then you're like, well, maybe Josh Johnson can keep this thing going. You're like, nope, Josh Johnson's not going to keep this thing going.
And the defense and the 49ers defense like kept them alive for a little while there.
kept them alive. I want to talk about that, because I don't think a lot of people are talking about that. AJ Brown had 28 yards, Devontae Smith had 36 yards, right? Like, Jalen Hurts threw for 121 yards.
He was not good in this game.
He sucked.
The 49ers, when they lost Brock Purdy, forced three and outs immediately afterwards.
Yep.
I know that I'm a psychotic 49ers fan, and I know that I am probably not in the trauma that I'm in. I'm not in a mental state to drive a car, let alone be speaking a podcast. But the 49ers were better. Mm. And I know that's insane to say, but what I saw, the Niners defense was destroying them. Mm. Three and outs immediately after you lose your quarterback. Any other team, the season's over. They're done.
Mm.
And they still kept going. And obviously, you know, the penalties, I don't even want to talk about the refs. I think a lot of people are going to want to talk about the refs more on the Chiefs side. But the penalties were insane. The second they forced those three and outs, all of a sudden, every flag, like, they all came out. And I there's no way to know, but I, in my heart, know that if that injury wouldn't have happened, the Niners would have beat the Eagles.
At the very least, I think that injury robbed us of what could have been an all-timer of a game. That would have been an absolute 60-minute slugfest. And again, I think it's the two best constructed rosters in the league. I mean, just the fact that the 49ers made it there with Mr. Irrelevant shows how well they're built around everywhere else on the roster. And the Eagles really don't have a lot of weak points. Their defense was still getting after the quarterback no matter who was back there. Like, it would have been a great game. I won't say, again, you look at the final score and it's like, oh, 31-7. How could you say that the Eagles were even going to struggle with them? That was absolutely a game, even, you know, well into the second quarter with virtually no offense available for the 49ers.
Yeah. It wasn't even until the fourth quarter where it was like, okay, three possessions with this. I mean, it's like, it's just not happening.
Don't forget that Josh Johnson literally dropped the ball and gave it to the other team.
Like, hey, Patrick Mahomes did it too. It
I know, but like, but it was like 7-14, and that's, you know what I mean. Like, and they were driving. Like, it's just.
Would it have mattered, Evan, if they had gone Wildcat? Like, in the moment, were you thinking, like, could CMC have done it?
No.
Would that have not made a difference?
No, they're too good of a defense. The Eagles are really good.
And with zero threat of a pass. And the fact that CMC was getting yards, period, in that second half, when it's like, oh, guess where the ball's going? Everyone in the stadium knows where the ball's going. And he still got a few first downs. I thought that was incredible.
His touchdown run was one of the greatest playoff touchdown runs I've ever seen in my entire life. And it'll never be even talked about because of that. That's the thing that bothered me. I don't have a lot of complaints because, you know, what are you going to do when that happens? It's just that. But that Kyle knew he was going to be able to run the ball. And he just, like, he could have just ran the ball. Like, he was getting 4 yards of carry early on, and he was still trying to do his little, you know, all of his little bullshit, little cutesy little fuck. Like, he had Brock Purdy, like, you know, what, I don't know what the play is called, but where you roll out a little bit and have Hassan Reddick bite, and then you're going to throw it to Christian McCaffrey over him, right? Like, that's the play. That's what he got injured on. Christian McCaffrey was just getting the ball handed off to him, and he was running for 4 or 5 yards every time. We hadn't even used your other running backs yet. And it's just like, I get it. You want to have this, like, balanced passing attempt, whatever. But, like, do you remember the Vikings game, Eric, at Levi's, that playoff game?
Yeah, I tried to block it out. But
right. Kyle's very – Kyle knows how to run the ball in the playoffs, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, that game was over as soon as the 49ers got to double digits, I think, especially with that what they were doing. But, yes, what a Garoppolo throw – was that the
11
one
– passes or something
I think
like
it was
that?
8 or something like that. I think he went, like, six for – wasn't that the game where he went 6 for 8? He had 2 games in that playoff run where he barely threw, but that was one of them.
And that's just what makes me so bad. Obviously, it's like ifs and buts, right? Like, looking back on it, it's almost a waste of energy, but it's just like – knowing that they were the 16th rated run defense in the NFL, and you have the best rushing attack in the world right now, and you chose to just try and throw the ball early too. I don't know, man. Talking about it makes it worse, guys. Let me tell you, talking about it makes it worse.
Oh, I stand corrected. Garoppolo, he passed 19 times that game. He completed 11 of them for 131 yards.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. 11. So. He completed 11 passes, but that was in the beginning, the first half, he completed a lot of those. In the second half, I think he threw like 2 passes.
Yeah, because he didn't need to.
Because he threw an interception and he pissed off Kyle.
Yes, he did.
Well, Evan, here's something that could this is a question that I think could uplift you a little bit. Like, what did you love most about this team this year? Like, what did you love most about going to the games and watching this team rise, their resiliency? Like, what was your favorite part of this year's 49ers?
I mean, it has to be the next man up. Like, you'll never in the history of the NFL, I don't think you'll ever hear again about how a team started with one quarterback, had a backup, was still able to compete, had a third string Mr. Irrelevant, and they got better. It was a great story. I think it was awesome to see the team rally around Brock Purdy. I think it was great to see. When you're a football fan of a team and you love that team, I got to see the best version of these players, not as football players, but as people. You got to see them so happy and appreciative. They had each other's backs. They were constantly hyping each other up. And that was great. Just really great to see. There was other things too. Obviously, you love the 49ers going 6-0 in the NFC West, right? Mm-hmm. You love them winning the NFC West, right? Love that. You love them beating Seattle in the playoffs. They beat Dallas in the playoffs. It was a story year, like a storybook year for the 49ers. You could not have written it better if you just would have left the last page off.
The last thing I'll say on this, which is, I think, funny, and then we'll get into some Viking stuff, is did y'all read the Ray Ratto defector piece today?
No.
Not yet.
It was so good. It's like, he's such a great writer. I've said for years, he's my favorite sports writer. He always makes me laugh. Like, there's no Ray Ratto column that doesn't make me laugh. He's but Did y'all know that the Niners got woken up with a fire alarm the night before the game at 5 a.m.? No fire. They were woken up, and it was reported by Kathleen Madigan, who I think is a comedian, and she tweeted, quote, "My hotel in Philly had a bunch of 49ers on the top floor. At 5 a.m. today, fire alarm went off for half an hour. No fire. LOL, expect some sleepy 49ers today." That, when we talk about cursed franchises, Evan, that was something, I'm reading that and I'm like, well, that speaks to what Evan's talking about. Like, what are the odds? Like, all these dudes were woken up at 5 a.m.
I'm reading that as Philly fans.
I want to say this. Philly fans are genuinely terrible people.
Yeah.
Like, not even facetiously. They are like, I've been a 49ers fan for my whole life. You know, I've had big games. We've played out of conference, out of division games, really big ones. I've never met a fan base that was more smug, more shitty than the Eagles fan base. They're terrible people. There are still right now so many people from the Eagles fans in my mentions that's what we do. We knock quarterbacks out. It's like, please, I don't want to hear from you. Like, you're literally on call, right? Like, you're working at the gas station right now and you're tweeting. Like, just go back to your job at the gas station and stop tweeting on the clock. It's time theft. I don't want to hear it. It's time theft and it's illegal. And it's just like, they're the most miserable, you would think that a team that was never able to win a Super Bowl and then they finally won one with Nick Foles would understand how hard it is to win a Super Bowl and how crazy the NFL is. But they are classless douchebags. And this is coming from an all-time douchebag. I know them well.
I have attended probably 4 or 5 Vikings Eagles games in my lifetime, all in Minnesota. The Vikings are playing in Philadelphia. I wrote a quick article last week on Daily Norseman. I ranked the top places where I would go for the 9 opponents that the Vikings are playing on the road, and I put everything else, and I put dead last Philadelphia for any of the reasons that Evan mentioned. This is a fan base. Again, I'm generalizing. I'm sure there are dozens of nice Eagles fans out there, but to a person, every time, this is the traveling the Eagles fans that are, you know, coming to another NFL stadium. To a person, were just like, they prided themselves on being assholes. Like, that was they wanted to be. They sought
a pride point
being assholes. And yeah, again, if it's the, you know, I'm sure, again, that I don't want to paint that heavy of a brush, but until I meet one otherwise, I'm going to have to agree with Evan on his opinion of the fan base. And again, I respect the hell out of the team that the Eagles have put on the field. That is a really well-run franchise. Howie Roseman has put together an amazing roster. I like a lot of those players. Yes, that's the thing. As a Vikings fan, it's like, oh, they went and kicked our ass with Nick Foles in the NFC Championship game, did a complete rebuild while we're spinning our wheels with Kirk Cousins, and now they're in the Super Bowl again. Right. So, yes, I really like that team. I even like their uniforms. I think they're cool. The Kelly Green ones are way better. But the fans, I was rooting for your 49ers and for that reason.
AJ Brown is one of the dopest wide receivers I've ever had the chance and pleasure to watch in the NFL. He's fantastic. Jalen Hurts is awesome. He's a great story. I love underdog stories. I love Jalen Hurts. Their coach sucks. Total douchebag. 100%.
But I think it's part of why it works.
Big Sean Payton vibes.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got such a more punchable face than Sean Payton. Sean Payton's the kind of guy I can just lift up and be like, go away, get out of here. I'm going to put you in timeout.
NFL teams have kind of done that this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Getting worse.
Yep.
There you go. Eric Thompson, who's the Vikings' next defensive coordinator? Because that just seems like the difference this year. Like, did you know when it was Big Ed who was going to be the DC, we were like, well, this is not going to last. This is going to be a problem. We're like, Vikings fans already in the know, where it was like, he's not going to work. This is a weird bad hire to start things off, Kevin O'Connell. Like, what are we doing? Why do we hire him?
No, we liked it because it was the experience factor and KOC was new and all that stuff. And we were definitely given the benefit of the doubt. And it was just such a time for a change because that defense the last couple of years under Zimmer, and again, the defenses under Zimmer were traditionally amazing. That was the part that carried the team in the couple playoff runs that they did make. And it had just fallen apart. I mean, their two-minute, their end-of-half defense was just getting torn up. They allowed a historic amount. I think in 2021, they allowed the most points in the last 2 minutes of halves, like in the history of the NFL.
Almost got Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley paid.
I mean, I think we did our part for the Daniel Jones. We made Mac Jones look good this year. That was the scary. But yeah, I mean,
Matt Patricia looked good.
Yeah. The Jets, I mean, we made Mike White some money again. Like, it was bad. But again, like, going into the season, it's like, all right, 3-4, maybe we don't have the personnel for that. But again, it was basically like they needed something new. And then it was something new, and then it was the exact same thing for the entire season. It was a cover two shell. They made zero adjustments. They did not play to their strengths and weaknesses of their defense. And when you're dropping Danielle Hunter, who's one of the best edge rushers, he had a really good season. He had a lot of pressures. Him and Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius Smith kind of fell off at the end of the season after banging up his knee, I think. But they had some pieces, and they basically couldn't do anything on the, like, if they had half a defense this year, then they're extremely dangerous. But it just was not going to happen under Ed Donatell. So to answer your original question, who it's going to be, I think we'll have to find out who the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals is before we find out the answer to that. Because I personally think, again, I have no inside information on this, but I think they're going to wait for what Brian Flores is doing. If he gets that job in Arizona, I think he's a really good fit for what the Vikings defense needs. Yes, they have officially interviewed him. And,
who have they interviewed total?
They've interviewed him, and I think they interviewed Mike Pettine, the internal candidate who did, you know, if you want anything to do with the current people. I mean, when Packers fans are in your mentions going, yes, please sign Mike Pettine.
Then is Dom Capers in this group? Yeah, like, what are we doing here?
He was already in the building before. So, and then I'm going to screw up. Is it Desai out of Seattle?
Oh, yes. He was the associate head coach. He was in Denver the year prior. Or Chicago. Was he the one in Chicago last year as DC? And then when that staff got fired, he moved over?
I believe so. But yeah, and I think at least from what I know about his system, I think it'd be a better fit. Well, just about anything, again, would be better fit than...
That's a kind of good place to be in, though, right? Where you're like, we can't go down and our offense is good.
I mean, in most categories, you can only go down one at the most, I think, for most of where the Vikings ended up being ranked. Mm. And yeah, I think that's what you... First of all, there's going to have to be a lot of new faces on both sides of the ball, but especially on defense. It didn't matter if you're having... If you had... Prime Buddy Ryan coaching that defense, they weren't doing much just because they didn't have a lot of depth. I mean, their linebackers got just absolutely roasted. Hicks was out of position a lot, and Eric Kendricks, as much as I have loved watching his career in the Vikings, he's definitely on the back end of his career. And when Patrick Peterson is your most reliable cornerback in his 11th year, that's saying something. Harrison Smith isn't what he used to be. He's still good, and they didn't use Harrison Smith the way that he excels the most is what, and the whole Mike Zimmer defense was a lot of it was predicated on being unpredictable before the snap. Harrison Smith would be sprinting up to the line of scrimmage and then sprinting back. I think I saw that maybe like four or five times this entire season. And so it was a combination of personnel really struggling and just the fact that they were completely predictable and you could tear them apart. So basically, out of the three, I think my personal preference is Flores, but again, it could be, I think they're going to have to wait for a couple other places to land before we find out exactly who it's going to be. I would hope to know in the next week or two, but we'll see.
Yeah, Falcons just made a DC hire, and most Falcons fans are not into it. Like, Fontenot is building basically the Sean Payton Saints all over again. That's what the goal is. So they hired the defensive line coach who's never called defensive plays to replace Dean Pease. So not feeling great. Right, Eric, about where things are headed in that front, but I don't know. We'll see. Because like you said, it's just, I don't know if it can be worse. I don't know if the pass rush could be worse than it was this past year. Really just all of my adult life in Atlanta. I just wonder too, like Justin Jefferson having an MVP worthy season, like these are the kind of things, and this kind of ties into Evan and his team with the Niners, where like CMC was healthy this whole run. Debo was healthy this whole run. You had so many dudes who were healthy outside of the quarterback spot, which is obviously the most important part. But like Trent Williams was healthy. Arik Armstead, Bosa, you go up and down the list. So many of the important guys, Fred Warner, were all healthy. Kirk was healthy for you. Dalvin Cook was healthy. Justin Jefferson, you're like, wow, we really burned a year where all of our important playmakers were healthy because this part of the, like this part of the team was such a weakness that we, I hope we didn't miss our moment because we didn't have the right DC in place. And like you said, it was a depth thing. So who knows if any DC would have been good enough.
Let me know when you're ready to talk about Tom Brady.
Do you want Tom Brady, Evan?
No, you want Kirk because that's, we've had a local radio station making the A-block content. Should they trade for, you know, the local kid?
Okay, so
bring Trey Lance back to Minnesota. That's where he's from.
I would love to trade Trey Lance.
Trey Lance for Kirk Cousins. Let's
do
this.
You know who never gets hurt? Kirk Cousins. You never have to worry about quarterback.
Oh, my God. Let's do this.
Here's the thing. So I would love to trade Trey Lance, and hear me out. I love Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I want him to be a 49er. But for his own personal health and career, we have to trade him. He doesn't deserve this. He needs better. And he's not – wherever Sean Payton goes, by the way, it's Arizona. I think – that Trey Lance needs to
I think he's back to the booth because Vic Fangio was like his rumored partner, right? Like they were a package deal.
Chase,
I was
telling you.
Oh.
So, but either way, the Niners aren't going to trade for anyone as much. Unless maybe it was a straight up swap. I don't think they get rid of Trey Lance because they want to see what he has. Tom Brady is the only quarterback that is good enough to come into this offense with the stacked roster that it is. I mean, tell me this. Do you guys think that this Bucs team this year, even though Brady's getting older, was kind of like the Patriots team the last year before Brady left?
Yeah, close.
I mean, yeah, I'd be shocked if Brady went back to the Bucs. I think that's over.
I think the Bucs are going to have to rebuild. I mean, like,
you know how, like, you remember how Brady played bad his last year in New England? Everyone was like, is he done? But in reality, he wasn't done. It was just the roster was terrible.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of that with all the injuries and stuff like and with the Bucs. If Tom Brady's got to come to the 49ers. And I say that I'm terrified of it because he's Tom Brady. So if he finally does lose to Father Time, you won't be able to bench him. It's a gamble. But he can come in. Brock Purdy can learn from Tom Brady, which is probably good considering Brock Purdy's background. And Trey Lance, you can't start. What are you going to do? Bring Jimmy back?
Jimmy's got to get out of there, too, for his own mental health. Like, I can't keep doing this. I can't.
Yeah, he's out of there, I think. He's free agent. And, yeah, he seemed okay with the loss on Sunday. Again, I hate those, like, oh, he was smiling on the sideline. What a terrible team player. It's like, yeah, he's chatting with other people. Like, the game was over.
Game was over, but also, like, he looked as if someone was saying something funny to him.
Sure.
And so, like, I don't understand why everyone was so on his ass. It's like, why is someone cracking a joke to him?
But also, this is so insane you have to laugh. Where you're like, what are the odds? Right. Where like, it's like, this maybe, is so insane.
Yeah, maybe someone is just saying next to the guy next to him was like, can you fucking believe this?
Yeah.
Like, no, and I don't
know about you guys.
Can you play,
I'm
Jimmy?
Not...
What's your foot like? Are you sure you can't go back?
Exactly.
I'm not a crier. I'm a laugher. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when things are terrible, I don't cry. I laugh.
Mm.
So if I'm looking out there and I'm, like, seeing Josh Johnson come off the field with a concussion because he just got literally knocked out, I'm laughing.
Yeah, because it's like, what do we even do now? Like, do we call the game? Do we call this game?
I wanted to see... I wanted to see Juszczyk back there.
That would be cool.
Because there was tweets about it. They're like, he's the emergency quarterback. It was either him or CMC that was the emergency.
No, it's him. It was Roosh.
Well,
okay.
I'm surprised you haven't said anything yet, Chase.
Hmm. What?
Juan Jennings.
Oh, no, he was a quarterback in high school.
Yeah,
he came to Tennessee.
He was a quarterback.
Yeah,
Juwan Jennings. You know what's funny you say that? Because I thought about texting you in the moment when we were driving down the road, and I'm like in middle of nowhere, Tennessee, and I'm like... Evan's probably not having a good time. I'm not going to interrupt his time. Like, I'm not going to go Juwan Jennings time because I didn't know if that'd be well received in the moment, Evan. I didn't know how would you have received that if I had texted you. He was a 4-star in high school.
I mean, I saw it pretty quickly on my TL timeline, so I wasn't really necessarily whatever. But honestly, I can't stress it enough. I was good. The only thing that we were at my buddy's house, none of my friends really looked like they were trying to keep the party going. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. None of my friends were like Sunday funny, like let's drink and watch the next game or anything like that. So I'm like looking at the situation and I was like, I'm not going to get drunk because I don't like being drunk by myself, let alone whatever in this circumstance. So I stopped drinking. I got sober. And I said, all right, guys, I'm out. Went home, played video games, had a great day.
There you go.
Wait, didn't you retweet one of your friends? Like, weren't you laying on the floor at one point, though, at least?
Yeah, I mean, that was in the moment. That was in the moment. I'm talking about, like, after the dust settled. That was literally me falling to the ground when, I think it was when Josh Johnson got a concussion.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it's just like, there's no God.
The biggest offseason question for the Vikings is what, Eric?
I think it's who are they going to get rid of, and it's going to be multiple players. We are going to lose some names for the Minnesota Vikings that have been around for a very long time and that are beloved players, and they're going to have to make some very tough decisions. We've already talked about Dalvin Cook a little bit. I think he's a candidate just because the whole don't pay running backs thing, and I don't think he had a great season outside of a few really explosive plays. There were the expected rushing yards over the next gen was not kind to him. And I think, there was a whole controversy right after the game. Adam Thielen's wife had posted social media stuff of how, you know, this could be it in Minnesota. You know, of course, the born and raised Minnesotan, and he went to Minnesota State, blah, 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 blah. It's probably time because his cap hits like $20 million next year, and I have my doubts if he is a number two wide receiver anymore. Like, he really struggled getting open. He's still an excellent route runner, but he's just lost that half step of where he can get consistent separation, especially with KJ Osborne coming up. And I think they'll probably get they'll add to that position in free agency and or the draft. So, and then on the defensive side of the ball, talked about Eric Kendricks a little bit. He might be on his way out. Harrison Smith, I still will think will stay around because of the cap implications. It's they do save some money, but I think the cap hit or the dead cap is still pretty big this year. I think he stays on.
Also, that would just kill this fan base if you release Harrison Smith, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook in the same offseason.
Right. Pool. This is. I mean, there are we're talking a lot of jersey sales.
Yes.
On the way out, and I think that's it's going to be tough. They have, I mean, because right now, and with the new cap announced, I believe I checked over the cap, and they are still 22 or 23 million over right now, as everything stands. So I mean, it's literally a necessity. They have to get down on a lot of different contracts. So I think those are the big decisions. Obviously, like it's who to keep because it's not going to be everyone, and it's going to be some, I think, very popular names that are departing from the team. It's the whole business of the NFL thing. These are guys that I have rooted for and covered and, you know, personally really, really enjoyed over the past several years. But unfortunately, it's probably time for at least a few of them.
Man. Evan, who's the biggest name on the Niners who's not back next year?
Jimmy Ward.
Okay, you think he's gone.
But also, it's like, it's kind of a boring thing because it's like Jimmy Ward during the Harbaugh years was like rumored of like being one of the guys that might not make it. And I remember back then being like, you know, he had a good run. Like, Jimmy Ward was always the guy where he's like played multiple different positions, you know, whatever. Really, he has stayed around. He's taken pay cuts. He loves the team. He had a great career with the 49ers. And I hope that he can go get the bag one last time before things are over. But I'm telling you, I've been saying it for a long time. I don't know anything here. This is just me. I think they trade Debo this offseason. So you tell me, you guys tell me this. Can they land Lamar Jackson if they trade Debo? With that cap space?
I have no idea.
Well, it all depends on what Lamar accepts for the contract.
Like, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying, because like that's the whole thing with the Lamar thing, right? Is like they get an option, another team can essentially try and sign him with an offer sheet, and then Baltimore can match, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. He's a restricted. He's restricted, right?
Yeah.
But he's also involved in the next OC hire. I don't know what to make, because he's also representing himself, so it could always change day in, day out. I don't know.
I don't think you look at, if you're Lamar Jackson and you're playing in Baltimore, I don't know if you look at what the 49ers did with Brock Purdy, and you got to go, I've got three Super Bowls there at least.
I'm sorry, but you're missing a big part of this. If you're Lamar Jackson, you're looking at the Niners, you're like, okay, what injury am I going to have next year in San Francisco? Like, I'm already been banged up the last 2 years. If you're
as a fan, I'm just hoping we get one before it happens. You know,
you need the injury proof quarterback. We need to do Trey Lance for Kirk Cousins. Let's do this.
It's just Tom
Brady,
dog.
It's just sitting there. Tom Brady doesn't get injured.
You say that's yeah. You know what I thought was funny was like the most Cowboys thing ever. Yesterday, or I guess today was. Well, I guess yesterday Kellen Moore was let go. So right. Kellen Moore was let go yesterday. And then today, like we're not even 24 hours out, Kellen Moore immediately gets a new job and he is the new OC for the Los Angeles Chargers. Someone tweeted, and this was a good tweet, where it's like, if the guy you just fired got picked up immediately, like less than 24 hours ago, maybe you made a mistake, and then it came out that McCarthy and Moore were butting heads at the end of the season. I'm like, so he's calling plays next year, it looks like. And then I saw they're going to promote from within with Brian Schottenheimer, who has been bad everywhere.
This is beautiful. This is beautiful.
Like, this is unbelievable. If I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm losing my absolute mind at how this offseason's going. Because you were looking at it like we were this was supposed to be a gap year. We had to eat some bad contract stuff with Amari Cooper going out. Mm-hmm. We actually won more games than we thought we were going to win this year. Defense is top notch, one of the best in the NFL. Micah Parsons is a monster. And look, we're in good shape going into next year. Like, the Eagles, like, we'll see what happens. Like, we're kind of a victim of being in the same division as the best team in football for most of the year. Like, hey, it happens. But we would have hosted multiple playoff games if that was not the case. And then you look at it and you're like, what? Kellen Moore's out and we're just going with Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer being promoted. What?
Dude, the Cowboys are hilarious. And that will be one of the few things that really, like, made me feel better during the Niners game.
Yeah.
Like, hearing that. You had a young, up-and-coming, still-learning offensive coordinator who was immediately hired by the Chargers, which, by the way, I'm excited about that. But that's
a good hire for them.
It's a whole other podcast.
For sure.
The Cowboys are hilarious.
Eric, is there any chance it works? Like, is there any chance next season's not an absolute disaster with Mike McCarthy calling plays?
Like, they'll be good. They'll be, because they still have a ton of talent. However, they're going to be the Cowboys at the most wonderfully opportune time. They'll probably get the playoffs. They'll probably be a wild card. They'll have a lot of good games. I mean, like, yeah, this is exactly what the Cowboys have been for the past, you know, several years. Every time they get pretty good, they basically can't get out of their own way. And yeah, I bet if you polled Cowboys fans, who do you like more? You know, if one has to stay and one has to go between McCarthy and Kellen Moore, I bet it'd be at least 85% of Kellen Moore. And yeah, of course, they got rid of Moore, and now they're stuck with McCarthy. And yeah, ask Packers fans out of the one, God mode Aaron Rodgers year, how that usually goes.
I mean, just fire McCarthy and promote Moore. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Like, you got Dan Quinn to stay. Like, Dan Quinn's like, this is a problem. Because guess what? You think they're still going to make the playoffs. I think the Cowboys missed the playoffs. I think this is going to be a disaster offensively next year with Schottenheimer and McCarthy. Like, I think this is an abject disaster.
If it's actually Schottenheimer and he's in his usual bag of tricks, his Seattle and where was his
Jacksonville, the Urban Meyer year, where Trevor Lawrence looks horrific. Yeah, he was the OC.
That's right. Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah, never mind. If it's Schottenheimer, I take everything back. They're going to be just a complete dumpster fire. If it's anyone even close to competent for their offensive coordinator, then I still think they're too talented to just completely suck. But yeah, Schottenheimer's so bad.
Vic Fangio to the Dolphins, Nathaniel Hackett to the Jets, Bill O'Brien back to the Pats. Which will prove to be the biggest hire this cycle, Evan, of those three in the AFC East?
It's got to be, I mean, Vic Fangio, but it's not even done yet. That's not guaranteed.
What do you mean?
They just came out with a report today, Benjamin Albright, too, saying that his camp said it's not done yet. He wants to basically – he might be coming to the 49ers.
Well, because the Niners, it looks like they're going to lose to D'Amico Ryans to the Texans.
They're saying, The word that they used was that his camp might have been a little overzealous and that Fangio wants to wait. And I think he should, because is the Dolphins a fantastic team for him? I don't know why he wouldn't say yes to the Dolphins, period. No income tax in the state of Florida, the weather, you know, Mike McDaniel's a young coach, a good coach. You got some exciting pieces over there too. I think it's a great move for him. But yeah, I mean, he, you know, Vic Fangio came to the 49ers during off season and kind of hung out, said hi. I don't know if he was helping at all, but he was definitely around the facility with Kyle this last season. So if he goes to Miami, that's without a doubt the biggest hire. Nathaniel Hackett is hilarious. I don't care about that at all.
Another example of like when you fire your OC and it's like he gets picked up the next week by a great offensive mind and Sean McVay over there in Los Angeles. Like, yeah, I'll go ahead and pick up Mike LaFleur. It was not a Mike LaFleur issue. It was a Zach Wilson not being a good NFL quarterback issue. I think a little bit more there. But Eric, of the three, what do you think is a year from now? It's January 31st, 2024. What do you think will be the biggest one if these three all go down?
Well, I think from a purely just coaching standpoint, I think Fangio would be a very big upgrade. And I think the pieces are in place for the Dolphins to be a pretty good team. That said, I'm going to say Hackett just because it's the whole Rodgers is doing the Favre impression thing. It's so funny how he basically loathed Favre and he is slowly becoming him at the exact same age. He's going to go from the Packers. Like, I feel like I should be buying my number 12 Rodgers jersey for the 2024 or 2025 for the Vikings, because if he's gonna go full circle. He's gonna do where did Favre go right after the Packers? He went to the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't know how much smoke is how much fire is behind that smoke, but he did like Hackett when he was in Green Bay. They're buddies.
The Broncos hired him just to entice him.
Yeah. Like I think that's it's a recruiting tool, and I think that's really what the Jets, because the Jets are like, again, if they have anything close to competent quarterback play, they at least are making the playoffs.
Yeah.
They drafted so well. They have two absolute studs on defense on their corners.
Roster.
Yeah. Like, and they're pretty, and again, they lost their stud rookie running back too, pretty early in the year. Breece Hall's going to come back. He's going to come back. So if that actually happens, if Rodgers finally gets out of the NFC North, and I'm personally rooting for that one.
Would you buy a Rodgers Vikings jersey in 2025?
No, I never bought a Favre Vikings jersey. Okay. Well, first of all, I've officially decided that I will only buy Vikings uniforms of players that are older than me.
Okay.
So basically, that's just retired guys now, because I've passed everyone. Just because
you don't have to worry about anything. They retire that way.
Jerseys are good for like 3 or 4 years now only. Yes. And I don't like how the store-bought NFL jerseys fit you anyways, because the sleeves are like down to your elbows.
Yeah.
And I have
we all look like Madden Nation players.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if we had like the cool custom fit ones that the players actually wear, sure. But yeah, but no, I won't be buying that.
What if your one of your daughters is like, I want an Aaron Rodgers Vikings jersey?
Oh, just for shits and giggles, I'd do that for sure. Yeah, like they can pick if they're rooting for the Vikings, and I'm still keeping them interested in a couple of years, because like I think they had fun at the games, because these are the first regular season games I got to bring them to this year.
Oh, so, nice!
Like, they both had a blast, and I let my daughter stay up last night and watch the end of the Chiefs and Bengals game. Like, she's asking questions about it. It's like, okay, we're as long as they're football fans and Vikings fans, I'll buy them whatever jersey they want.
There you go. I like it. There we go. I like that. The last thing, speaking of the game last night, we'll end on this. The Bengals, did they get hosed? Like, ultimately, do we think they ultimately got hosed and that they were the better team and should have won that game? Or did the better team ultimately win and there was just some weird officiating stuff that ultimately did not end up being the reason they lost that game last night?
Well, I'm torn on it. I mean, I think the one thing that we could probably all agree on is that the refereeing for the entire day, not just the Bengals Chiefs game, not the best day for these crews. I'm starting to think that these, these all-star crews that they put together for the playoffs is like the best graded ones. I think it's obviously turning out to be a pretty bad idea because these guys haven't worked to get with each other as much. I think take your best, highest graded overall crews, keep them together because these people, like especially in the Chiefs and Bengals game, that game was it was back and forth. It was all sorts of unpredictable. And then the refs just started saying, okay, we're going to have 5-minute conferences after every other play. Like the game was just ground to an absolute halt. Mm-hmm. I still think the Chiefs were the best. I mean, what Mahomes did yesterday, again, I can understand Bengals fans have plenty to complain about. There were lots of things that happened in that game that were very confusing. The third down play, especially the one that apparently got, that was terrible. I don't get that. They showed the replay of it.
The official running over and trying to tell him, but it's like, well, at some point, okay, I get that part of it, but it's like, it still happened. So you're right. Like, well, we messed up, and they ran the play anyway. Like, and then people were like, well, they ended up having to punt later. But it's like, well, no, time went off, and they got a holding penalty on the next play, and they got to go a little bit further. So the Bengals had to start further back than they would have started in that. Like, exactly. So no, it did affect things.
For sure. And that's, I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, okay, the ref is doing that, but no one acknowledges it. But yeah,
this is your all-star crew.
But then, if you go like, I think it was in the playoff game, Kevin O'Connell was like begging for a timeout right before a play, didn't get a call. Oh, sorry, the play happened. So what's the difference there? Like that.
Yeah.
It's an impossible job. And it's everything is so fast and everything is so close. Like with the Devontae Smith catch, it's like live, it looked good. And then as soon as you saw the first replay,
That was on Kyle. Period.
Yeah, especially. Well, I mean, when the receiver's going like, "Let's go," like that should probably be a sign to throw the challenge flag. And like, right in the next drive, the Eagles calling that challenge and getting a fumble out of it. That was a huge turnaround. Not, you know, of course, just the injury too. So again, it's not on all on the referees. I still think probably the best two teams won, but boy, the Bengals certainly had their chance and with a very hobbled Patrick Mahomes. The one thing I won't.
But we say very hobbled, by the way, Eric. The man, I don't think people understand. I broke my foot in September. I like Jimmy Garoppolo when they were saying he might be back for the playoffs. I'm like, absolutely not. Like I was telling Evan on this podcast where I'm like, that's not happening. As someone who broke his foot, not happening. That man is going to be in a boot for 2 months and it's going to be some rehab and it's going to be a while before he's trusted. Like he is a zero chance. That man is out for the year. And then with the high ankle sprain, people in there, I've talked to people about this, like the doctors about this. I don't understand how Patrick Mahomes was able to do what he was able to do. You are supposed to be in a boot for a while with this. Like, I don't know. Like, you said he was hobbled, but, like, he was still moving and throwing on the right. Like, he was still doing stuff that was his game-winning run. He is running, and he did not look hobbled when he ran.
It'll be interesting to see how he recovers in these 2 weeks. Like, I mean, if the amount of stress that he put on what was, again, the only other thing that makes sense to me is like it was just a regular ankle sprain and the Chiefs
not a high ankle sprain.
And the Chiefs are selling it like, oh, hey, that's, you know, that was it. That's the only other thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I genuinely have no idea. Like, I would not be able to walk. Like, you're supposed to be on crutches. Like, I genuinely do not understand how that happened. Like, if he was in the pocket just standing there and not really moving around, I would get it a little bit more. But, like, goodness gracious. I mean, he's unreal, and he had so many great throws in this game. And like you said, like, the Bengals got hurt with some stuff, but, like, he was down. Mecole Hardman was down. Kadarius Toney was down. Juju Smith-Schuster, and it's like a special teamers in with him in that slot position when they needed to. And it's just Pacheco, whatever. It's just, I don't understand where they find these guys where he just is number 10 and is the new Tyreek Hill with his insane speed. You're just like, the Chiefs are so well built, and it doesn't matter who's in the building, who's out. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to get all these guys ready, and they're just inevitable. Yep. Like, the Chiefs just were inevitable, and I think, I don't know. I don't know where y'all are at with the Super Bowl. My early thoughts is, like, I would be surprised if the Chiefs don't win. I would be pretty surprised.
First and foremost, the Bengals are a great story, but, like, I just don't understand why people don't get it. I've personally witnessed this trauma, so maybe it's just something I'm a little more comfortable with and acknowledge. Patrick Mahomes is an evil, evil man, and he just does this. He is the greatest quarterback of all time, maybe next to Tom Brady, just already because of how unbelievable he is. I was tasked with deciding who I would rather win this team.
Mm.
I said, I would rather the Chiefs win because they beat the Niners straight up. I hope the Chiefs destroy destroy the Eagles. And I think that they will win. I don't know about destroy, but I hope that they do. I really do. I hope to God that the Eagles lose. And I think they will. Patrick Mahomes is going to have 2 weeks of rest. And a lot more steroid injections.
No.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And not even allegedly. No, Evan,
he will absolutely
no.
be having painkillers injected into that leg. I'll tell you that much. But either way, the Chiefs are maybe not the better roster, but they have Patrick Mahomes, and we've seen it so many times throughout the years. Brady might not have the better roster, but he's going to win that Super Bowl, you know, when Aaron won, et cetera, et cetera. Patrick Mahomes is different. They're going to win. They lost Tyreek Hill, and their offense got better. You should have known the second it happened.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you think, Eric?
That's my early leaning. But again, like if you're going by overall rosters, the Eagles are like significantly better from top to bottom. That's the one thing that worries me. This defense, if Mahomes still isn't back to 100%, that the pass rush that they do have could cause some trouble. I'm kind of leaning. What's the over under at right now? Like 48 or 40 something. Like I think it's going to be kind of low scoring. I think it might be kind of a slugfest, because I think the Chiefs are going to try to hold on to the ball as much. And from what I saw of the Eagles' offense, I mean they're run heavy. That
49.5.
49.5. Yeah, I'd take the under for that. I think we're going to see lower scoring than maybe, you know, between, again, these are two high powered offenses. I'm leaning Chiefs right now. I think it will be pretty close, though. And with Super Bowls, like, it really, like, the starts of these games. I just think back to the what was it, the Carolina-Denver one, where it's like Carolina was, you know, they were the 15-1 that year, and they had that powerhouse offense. And after that first, the what was it, the safety right away?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, this is how it's going to go. Like,
yeah, Von Miller is going to destroy Cam Newton, and this defense is
right.
Just,
there's this one. Anything. There's one matchup that it's so exploitable that it's absolutely over. Like, there's nothing that completely jumps out to me. I'm already sick of Kelce Bowl and Andy Reid Bowl storylines, but I think it'll be a good game.
I like the Andy Reid storyline one, though. I think it's kind of sweet.
24 years, and you brought him, you know, now you've brought both of these franchises. No, it's cool. Like, and the Kelce thing is cool. I love the Kelce brothers. Those guys are fucking, they're amazing. But, like, it's going to get beaten to death over the next 2 weeks.
I will say this, before it does get beaten to death, I think it's awesome that Andy Reid couldn't, unfortunately, get it done in Kansas City.
Philadelphia.
Or in Philly. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just heard the cooking and I was like, but couldn't get it done in Philadelphia, and then goes and wins in Kansas City, and then Philadelphia won one themselves. Like, everybody won, and now they get to meet to compete against each other. It's awesome.
I think so too. And Jalen Hurts, I just can't shake. He was bad in the Niners game, and Chandler Jones was.
It's because he played a real defense.
Oh, but he had some, those deep shots were like, I mean, Ward had a couple great plays. But
Three of them, they threw that same pass three times, and every time they shut that shit down.
And then the other three, he missed by 5 yards. The one that there was actually, the Brown had a step on him, that was like, he just whiffed on him. So, I need to see a little more out of Hurts. If he plays like that, they're done for.
I will say this, I don't think that Eric Armstead will be suiting up for the Chiefs. And he was getting pressure in the middle.
But Chandler Jones is. And Chandler Jones was eating Burrow alive in that game. And or not Chandler Jones.
Chris Jones. I'm like,
Chris
Chandler,
Jones, excuse me. Yeah. Chris Jones. I don't know. I also wonder, like, who would be the last quarterback to win the Super Bowl when he was not the better quarterback in the game? Who would that have been?
I was waiting for Evan to make the Patrick Mahomes over at Jimmy Garoppolo joke.
No, I was gonna say Joe Flacco and Kaepernick, but
it's pretty close.
This is as close as you're gonna get, maybe. Really,
I was gonna go back to Dilfer, right? Like, it just doesn't
happen. You
wouldn't
happen go that far back, would you?
Who would
well,
you?
And who did
Brady won a lot of these? Roethlisberger won one. Wait, what did he win? He won one.
Peyton Manning when he had like half an arm.
That's true. Peyton Manning's the answer right here. Peyton Manning when he had 9 touchdowns, 17 picks that year.
Yes, he was the corpse of Peyton Manning when a Super Bowl.
Yes, that's true.
Yep, good work.
That's the answer. I don't know, but it'll be fun. I think yeah, I agree though.
No,
sure.
It won't.
It will be close. It'll be a good
absolutely
game.
Absolutely not.
I think last year was great. I think we're gonna get back to back good competitive close Super Bowls, and I think that's the main thing. When your team's not in, you just want a competitive, fun game that you're gonna remember. And also, Greg Olson's calling this game, which is top notch because Greg Olson has been the best color commentator in the NFL this season. So I'm glad we're getting him. Romo was awful on Sunday. Awful.
I don't know, Jim. I don't know if he was awful, Jim. Jim, look at this. Yeah, what happened to Romo?
He used when to did play, he become the worst color commentator in the sport?
He used to predict plays and stuff, and now he just gets really excited. And yeah, like Greg Olson, of course, his career started, it rubbed me the wrong way because his test run was when he was injured 1 year, and it was a Panthers and Vikings game, and he was basically giving the Panthers scouting advice because like he was just basically like he was in on all the Vikings meetings and he was, you know, like while
there
he
was a conflict
on the
of interest there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I have been incredibly impressed with him. He notices things. He's very direct. He's very you don't have to put a lot of window dressing on it. And that's why like I'll defend Chris Collinsworth too. People
people
get bothered by him. I like he's looking off the ball and pointing out stuff that you're not going to pick up on the first play on TV. I love that kind of stuff.
They just got to add somebody with Herbie and Al. It cannot be those two together again next year. They have to add somebody. If you're going to keep Herbie with those two, I mean, you got to add somebody.
Herbie could also start too thin, man. Well, yeah, it's like I was just about to say, Herb Street could also, you know, watch some NFL football. Like,
but it's on his ball.
He doesn't have time to. Exactly. He's exactly. But you could tell, like, he was literally calling players by their numbers, like, the first few weeks on the Amazon. Like, I think Herb Street is a great announcer, but yes, college is his game, and it's a different game. And he could, like, that was all, you know, he would always go back to, oh, I liked him when he played in Michigan or something. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's when you watched him play. You haven't watched anything.
I will say this. I will do it. Okay. I will replace Herbert Street.
No, I would do an Evan Swords broadcast with Al Michaels.
I mean, I'm already an Amazon employee. They might as well just hire me.
Oh,
to a job,
so you have a natural in, Eric.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There you go.
AWS.
I'll give next gen stats. Like I'll load it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, boys.
I like it.
I gotta wrap this up myself.
Yeah. Well, Eric, what can the good folks check out from you over at the Daily Norseman this week?
This week we should have some it's gonna start, it's 'tis the season. We're gonna be looking at the draft, we're gonna be looking at maybe some defensive coordinator hire, who knows. It's the off season's in full swing, and we got a lot of good stuff from our Climbing the Pocket people. That we got actually a couple people in town in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, so
there you go.
Be on the lookout for a lot of stuff out of there.
And then Hooker would be playing if he was not hurt. Unfortunately, he will not be competing.
And also don't forget to look out for the Daily Norseman for when Kirk Cousins gets traded to the 49ers.
There we go.
That would be bad. The Niners would be a Super Bowl favorite next year if they traded for Kirk Cousins.
I'm honestly up for anything at this point that is just a competent. Give me just like
healthy. Give me someone who can play 20 games in a row.
He will give you the The only thing he's missed one game with the Vikings, and that was because of COVID. That was it.
Yep.
Death taxes. Kirk Cousins is suiting up, baby.
Yeah.
Evan Swords. Eric Thompson, thank you as always, and I will talk to y'all very soon.
Pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
This is Ben Ingram, radio voice of the Atlanta Braves, and I'm here to tell you that you've reached the end of today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast. As a friend of the podcast, I'd like to say thank you for listening to today's episode and hope you return for the next one. To show your support for the program, tell a friend or coworker or even a family member about the program, and if you're an Apple Podcast listener, leave the show a rating and a review. It goes a long way. That'll do it for me. But don't forget to listen to myself and the rest of the team at 680 The Fan and the Braves Radio Network this season. Go Braves!
Chase, I think I'm going to hear more about you. I really do. I think you've got a way about you, but you're interviewing, your pleasantness, you're smart. So I think I'm going to hear big things about you.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.